All right. When the pastor asked me to preach here right before Christmas, you know, your mind goes back. I don't know how many Christmas messages I've preached throughout the 30-some years that we've been in ministry, and just a bunch of them. And the passages the kids were quoting tonight, you know, and I went back and I read the Christmas story and Luke and Matthew and all the different places, and God just kept bringing me back to this. I think this is the most important message God's ever given me. And I've probably thrown some of it here and some of it there in different messages I've preached here. So if you see something or hear something that you've heard before, grab it again. I really believe this is the key to life. The key to everything. And thinking about Christmas, you know, everybody, Isaiah chapter 1, verse 23, I think it is, says everybody loves a gift. Anybody like gifts? Huh? And not to be ethically incorrect, but how many of you like to be an Indian giver? That's kind of a negative, isn't it? You want somebody giving you a gift and then taking it back, although some family members would try to do that just out of orneriness on that, say, which ones. I do thank God for my family. I got a lot of them here. Any of you girls that are single and you guys that are single, I want to meet with you after service, and I'm going to straighten a few of them out. But this fact of a gift, Christmas is a time for giving. And we spend money on gifts and to show our love. Thank you very much. I didn't even pray that he'd get sick. Amen. What's the greatest gift you'd have ever given? Anybody ever give somebody a car? Cheap one, I'm telling you. How about a house? No? How about a sunroom? We have all kinds of gifts, and I mean, some of them really get into expensive gifts. But what is the greatest gift? And you say, well, obviously that's Jesus. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you. The greatest gift that you could ever give. And that's what the whole purpose of this. Harvard did an 85-year study, and after 85 years, they got it wrong. Totally, totally wrong. What was the key to life? Is there a key to life? And all these intelligent people, they blew it, and they got it wrong. It's not stress. It's not cholesterol, high blood pressure, all the blocked arteries and things. It has nothing to do with money or talent, your education, your career. None of these things is the key to life. Not your sacrifice, how much you sacrifice. Not your service. The key to life is your heart. The key to life is your heart. I've been watching almost every message that these preachers have been preaching through these few days. Almost all, every one of them, they always mention the heart. The heart, the heart. I want you to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verse number 7. The Bible says, but the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on his countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. God had sent Samuel out to choose a king. They went out there and they lined up all these sons, and this boy, I mean, he was tall and he was probably muscular and really, really something. And he said, surely this is God's choice. And he says, no, I rejected him. And everyone, they went choice by, this got to be God's choice. This has to be God's choice. This has to be God's choice. God rejected every one of them. And he says this, he said, man looketh on the outward appearance. There's nothing wrong with that. I married a pretty lady myself. Your choice is your choice, amen. We look on the outward appearance. But God looks on the heart. May I ask you tonight, where's your heart? Where is your heart? Jesus, in Matthew 22, said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. When Jesus looks at my heart, what does he see? He's not looking on your outward appearance. He's not looking about your achievements, your resume, any of that stuff. He's looking at our heart. What does he see when he looks at your heart? The issue in churches, the issue in families, our personal issues, if you please, is not a financial, it's not a personality thing. It's all a heart issue. Every one of them. It comes back to the heart. The heart's the key to our relationship with our Father. I want you to listen to some words of wisdom. I mean, you talk about wisdom. And see, you can see the heart of God in this verse. He says in Proverbs 23, verse 26, my son, give me thy, what? 401k? Career? Family? No. He says, my son, give me thine heart. God is wanting our heart. He's asking us for our heart. I don't know why God would ever make a request to us. Because he owns everything. Everything belongs to him by creation. He is our creator. Whether you're a saved man, whether you're a lost man, doesn't make any difference. He still owns us by being our creator. But yet he comes here and he says, my son, give me thine heart. He makes this request. Why does he do that? Because God has given every one of us a free will. He has created us not as robots, as some of these doctrines teach, that you're either destined to heaven or destined to hell. You have no choice in the matter. He says, I've given you a free will, and in that, you have a choice, a willful choice, of giving me your heart or not. What's he gained from that? Nothing. He owns you anyway. He does gain some honor maybe, some respect. But it's not he that gains from this, it is us. We are the ones that gain everything when we give this gift. And unless we feel that we owe him that gift, then it will be given out of grudge. Well, I got to give this gift to my relative because they're my relative. Well, they gave me a gift last year, so I guess I got to give them a gift this year. No, that's not what it's all about. This is a free, a willful decision and a gift given by every believer that God would give him, or that we would give God our heart. I remember when my children all came to me at different times and gave their heart to me. And they were true to that all the way up until the time that they got married. And then they were able and had permission to give their heart to somebody else, and which is rightly so. The heart is the most valuable thing that we have. It's more valuable than homes, it's more valuable than heritage, it's more valuable than anything. The heart is the most valuable thing we have. It is the greatest gift that we could ever give. And God says, give me thine heart. This Christmas, instead of spending all of our time and our focus on all these other things, I'd like you to focus tonight on this fact, and I'd like you to make a decision. I preach for results, and I want you, what I'm looking for is for every one of us in this building. Some will, and some will not. Some will say they will, but they don't. But I want you to make a gift this Christmas back to God. And that gift is your heart. Many children of God, they are sons of God, they're children of God. But God does not have their heart. Now, notice when he says, my son, give me thine heart. He was already his son. He didn't have to become his son. We're not talking about salvation. That's already settled. Either you're saved or you're lost. And as a saved man, God says, my son, give me thine heart. So as we come to this, there's a lot of people that are children of God, but they... God does not necessarily have their heart. When did you give God your heart? I can remember back in Rota, Spain, after I got saved, about 3 months after I received Christ. And Brother Woodfield preached a message on lovest thou me more than these. And I come down that aisle, God broke my heart, and I went around to the side, and I gave my heart. I was already saved, but I gave my heart. I gave my wife. I gave my children, my career, everything I had. I gave it to him, and I said, I want you to have my heart. And he took it, every bit of it. And he took my children. He took my wife. He took my career and turned an old hog farmer into a preacher. God did a whole lot better job with my heart than I would have. I would have messed it up. You say, well, I did that once. This is kind of like marriage and divorce. You get married, but after a while, while you're at that altar and the preacher stands there and you're there and you're there and you make those vows and say, till death do us part. You have my heart. But what happened? I'll tell you what happened. You, don't blame it on everybody else, you took back your heart. Because God said we can even love our enemies. We stopped giving our heart. Once that's done, it's done. You can't go back and undo most of that. But you can start out now and you can do what's right. Not giving your heart to somebody else, but give it where it's supposed to have been to start with. Giving your heart to God. Don't take it back. When you gave your heart to God, you can go back maybe in a time like myself when I first time I gave my heart to God. I've had to go back to that altar again and again. Because I have been unfaithful and I have taken back my heart. Would you make your gift this Christmas not of candy, not of all the trinkets and the rings and the watches and all? Would you make the gift this year of your heart to God? Who has your heart? If you're a boy in here, no girl should have your heart. If you're a girl, no boy should have your heart. That belongs to your parents and it belongs to God. And if God has your heart, then you can give your heart to your parents and they'll watch for it. But you have no business giving your heart. I had a girl call me just this week. One of my former students out there in California, and she called and said, she sent me a text and said, could I call you? And I'm thinking, it's a woman wanting to call me. I don't know about this. She said, I'm one of your former students. And I'm thinking, oh boy, what's going on? She called and she said, you don't remember me, and she gave me her name, and she started going through some of the scenario, and then I remembered who she was. Nice young lady. She worked for me grading papers and stuff as we have work studies and that help us out sometimes. And she said, I walked in your office, and she said, I said, what do you think of, or she said, what do you think about this guy? She said, you stopped me short. And you said, sit down. I had her sit down. And I said, go to sleep. She said, what? I said, go to sleep. I said, don't be out here chasing some boy and doing all that. Just get your education, have fun, serve God, let him have your heart, and then one day God will wake you up when it's time. She said, I did that. I didn't all totally understand it, and a lot of people made fun of me, but she said, this last Friday, I just got engaged, and I'm getting married. I went to sleep, and God woke me up, and now I'm able to give my heart completely to this young man. Who has your heart? Your heart is a willful gift. It's a choice. A specific time when you make that decision, I'm going to take my hands off of my life and I'm going to trust God and I'm going to give you my heart, God. Your thoughts are going to be my thoughts. Your thinking, your desires are going to be my desires. As he is, so are we in this world. What he likes, I should like. What he hates, I should hate. What he does, I should do. If he has our heart, these things won't be a problem. There's a lot of people that was in this service this morning that God does not have their heart. Say, how do you know? Where do you think God's heart is tonight? In church. You think it's watching a football game? No. If our heart is like God's heart, where are we going to be? We're going to be in the house of God. So where are we going to be next Sunday? I'm not talking about church. I'm talking about Sunday school. Do we really have a heart for God? Are we going to be here Wednesday? In this case, Tuesday. Where is God's heart? If we don't know where God's heart is, we're just going to do whatever we want to do. So we've got to figure out, where is God's heart? God's heart is right here. And God's heart is in his worship. His whole design of the church age is that God be worshiped in the house of God faithfully and regularly. That's not my plan. I didn't design it. God designed that. That comes from the heart of God. So if I have the heart of God, where am I going to be? I'm going to be in the house of God. How about witnessing? Have we told people about Jesus Christ? We say we have the heart of God. In your mind, don't say nothing, don't raise hands or nothing, but when's the last time that you sit down and told somebody the gospel of Jesus Christ? I mean with the purpose of bringing them to Christ. Where do you think God's heart is? For God so loved the world. We were witnessing to a lady. We did some business here in town and give her track, and my son was talking to her about being a missionary, and she pulls up her sleeves and they had tattoos and everything. She says, "Is this a problem?" I said, "Absolutely not. God loves everybody." If we put requirements on what we used to be or what we were, I wouldn't be here today. I was a mess. Is our heart where God's heart is? If we give him that gift, are you going to be an Indian giver? Well, yeah, I'm going to witness. And then yet you don't ever go out and witness. Do we, in fact, have the heart of God? Give that gift of your heart tonight back to God. Your heart is who you are, not just what you do. That's part of it, but it's who you are. It's who he's made you. Your mind, your will, your emotion. Can you give your emotions back to him and let him be the judge of what you should and shouldn't feel, or how you should feel, when you should feel that way? Getting angry, not getting angry? Your mind, what you think, what you allow to come in, the eye gate and the hearing gate, what you listen to, what you read, what you watch, all of this. And your will, your desires. Will you, in fact, let God have his desires? Where do you think he would be on Sunday? Hello? He'd be in the house of God. Yielding your desire to his desire. All of these things play a part. Your heart is not just the key to your relationship with our Heavenly Father. It's the key to salvation. The key to salvation. Well, let me back up just a little bit. It's the key to our worship as we continue in this thinking of where God's heart is. His heart is in worship. We just finished the study on the tabernacle for months. And the whole thing is a pattern of how God wants man to worship him and what is required in that worship. Your heart is the key to worship. He said in Matthew 15, 8, this people draweth nigh unto me with their what? Their lips, their mouth, and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I've done the same thing. I come to church sometimes and my mind is on other things, and I sit there and I sing the songs and I go through the rituals and everything. And I don't even remember what I did when I got out the door. And you say, well, that's old age. No, that's just my heart's not there. My heart's not in it. And I have to stop. And I have to go back. And I have to give my heart once again back to God. People attempt to worship God and they serve God, but their heart is not in it. All throughout America, you have churches filled with heartless Christians. Their heart's not in what they do. That's why their churches have a bunch of old ladies in it. They're drying up. They're dying. Why? Because they didn't have a heart for God. They didn't tell nobody about Jesus Christ. They weren't out there bringing people to salvation. That's the heart of God. Missions. Getting the gospel out to the world. As Pastor has said many times, and I agree 100% with him, one of the main reasons why God's blessing this church is missions. Because we have a heart for God and the things of God, and we put feet to those things by our giving, by our praying. How many times? We never had churches contact us and send us emails and stuff like that. Nobody ever calls you over there. Nobody ever sends you a message and say, I'm praying for you. Once in a very, very, very slim period of time, maybe somebody would. But they said, our church is constantly emailing people and calling and sending letters and not just support, but showing that we're concerned. We have a heart for God. And that I commend you for. But there's so many that they'll come to church, they don't tithe. They don't witness. They don't study their Bible. On Sunday they're here, they carry a Bible. On Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, you wouldn't know there's a Christian. You walk into Walmart and you can't tell the difference between a Christian and a lost person. That ought not be. I remember when I got on a plane over in Italy. We got on the plane there in Italy. We was missionaries. We were just kicked out of the country, and we were coming, having to come back to the States. And my family, all of us, a bunch of little kids, and we get there in the airport in New York City. We come in there. We're dead tired. We've been up for hours and hours and flying and kids and all of this, and we. We're standing there. I'm trying to get checked in early, and my wife said, hey, she's tugging on my shirt tail, says, doesn't this look like a preacher over here and his wife? And I'm thinking, I really could care less. I want to get checked in, get in that seat, and close my eyes. And she said it again, and I said, honey, I'm checking in. Of course, I said it politely, probably. Now, you've been there too, huh? And finally I got checked in and I turned around and I said, okay, now what? She looked around, she said, they're gone. We get on the plane, we sit down, I'm already starting to go to sleep. She gives me the elbow routine and said, honey, there they are, they're on the same plane. Go ask him if he's a preacher. I said, are you out of your mind? I said, I know this guy from nowhere. I said, I'm not. Of course, a submissive husband, I just sat there. And I did. I went to sleep. And they got on the plane and everything. Well, we went to Chicago. We got to Chicago. And they didn't get off. And then while they're cleaning the plane and all this, she said, and they left us on the plane, she said, go ask them. Loving wife. So I said, okay. Obedient husband. And I went up there and I said, yeah, sir, I don't know, did you go to Tennessee Temple? That's where I went to Bible college. I thought, maybe, how do you start a conversation? He said, no, I went to Bob Jones. That was our rival. He said, my name is Dr. Carl Herbster. He said, my jaw literally would have hit the floor. I said, you're Dr. Herbster? He said, yeah. I said, you're my pastor. I'd never met him in my life. He said, you know, my wife was, when we was in the airport there, she was looking up there and saw y'all checking in, and she nudged me and she said, don't that look like a missionary family coming? I said, Dr. Herbster, I am one of your missionaries. They had just changed pastors in the church several months before, and we'd never seen each other, never talked, didn't know anything outside of the name. But you could see the difference. Can they see the difference in you? Can somebody pick you out in Walmart or Gilman's or Ace or wherever at the doctor's office and say, that's a Christian? That's a Christian. Do we really have the heart of God like we think or say we do? That's the key to accepted worship. It's the heart is the key to everything. And this is why I say this is one of the most important things if you get this down. The heart is the key to everything. Jesus said to him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with what? All thy heart. And all thy soul and all thy mind. This is the first what? Commandment. That's not a request there. That's a command from Almighty God. A command from the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said that. He said, I don't want half your heart. I want all your heart. That's what all means. He said, I want all your heart. That means you need to be all in. That means he wants 100% of who you are. He gave everything for us. He gave all. But now we have the heart problem. He didn't have a heart problem. You and I have the heart problem because we're only willing to give him part of our heart. We'll show up on Sunday morning. Outside of that, I got things to do. I got people to see. I got a football game to watch. I got to go play baseball. I got to go all kinds of excuses that simply shows who has our heart. The heart is the key to salvation. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thy what? Heart. It's the key to salvation. You believe in the heart that God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart, man believeth into righteousness. With a mouth, confession is made into salvation. The greatest difficulty in getting people saved or in conversion is the heart. To win that heart to God. You can win an argument and talk somebody in and say, well, it's wrong to drink, or it's wrong to smoke, or it's wrong to cuss, and you can win the argument. But you haven't won the heart. You haven't won the heart to God. Oh, you can go through the Romans road, you know, just real fast, for God so loved the world. And they don't even know who Jesus is. The greatest difficulty we have in salvation is winning that heart to God. People know the words. They've heard the words before. Well, you know, I'm sure I'm a sinner. I know I've done some bad things. Well, sorry, but there's no repentance. I've told the story on Shane, I don't know how many times through the years, him and his brother, Stanley. Wave your hand, Stanley, so they know who got the raw end of the deal, okay. They're sitting, we're at Thanksgiving, and we're sitting there at the little, we're at a big table there, the little table over there, and I'm watching them. And all of a sudden, Shane has this stick in his hand. And he looks across the table at Stanley, and he says, "Sorry." He wasn't sorry. If he was sorry, he wouldn't go ahead and hit him. But he conked him one. Amen, Doc, amen. But no repentance. We know that we're sinners. Well, we've done some bad things. What we've got to do is come face to face with hell. My sin is putting me in hell. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can save me. You see, I've dealt with people all over this world, and you talk to them, and it's just like it's running right off. If you are in a car, and you hit the rail going over a bridge, and your car is hanging over the side, you've seen pictures of them. And they're hanging on for dear life. I mean, they're hanging on to the door, and the car is about ready to fall off and everything. And all of, you might be hanging off of the side of a cliff. My cousin, or my nephew rather, was killed climbing here up in North Dakota. And you're grabbing a hold, and your fingers are getting weak, and they're, but they say, "Well, I don't know how to pray. Well, I don't know what to say." You got that picture up there? There we go. You tell me you don't know what to say? If you believe that you were going to fall off of that cliff, you would immediately cry, "God, help me! Save me!" Don't tell me you don't know how to pray. You don't believe you're lost. If you really believe that you were going to die and go to a devil's hell, it's not, "Well, God, if you're up there." No, he's up there all right. You just don't believe. You don't really believe that you're going to die and go to hell. You don't really believe you're going to answer to that holy, righteous God. We've got to come face to face with the reality that if we die without Jesus Christ, we are going to split hell wide open. And only Jesus Christ can save us. The reason he came, what a message this morning, was to save us from our sin. And if you believe that, you won't have a problem crying out to God. You'll realize, "God, without you, I am nothing. Oh, God, save me. Save my wretched soul." What did the guy, when he comes to the temple, he didn't have any fancy prayer. He beat on his breast and said, "Oh, God, be merciful to me, a sinner." We don't have the heart of God. It's not only the greatest difficulty in salvation is bringing the heart to God. It's the after you're saved, keeping that heart with God. Keeping that heart right. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence. Why? Why the heart? Why not physical exercise? Let's get a membership at the gym. Let's go work out. Let's do something. No, it's not about that. He says, because it's the heart. Keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. All of the different problems come from the heart. The thoughts come from the heart. All of these troubles, all these difficulties, all this wickedness, all this sin, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Listen to Lamentations chapter 2 and verse 19. Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. God wants our heart. And we're not willing to look at ourselves and say, okay, well, I'm saved, but I'm doing pretty good. No, we're not. We're not doing near as good as we think we are. We lie. We deceive. To get our own way, we'll make whatever excuse is necessary in order to do what we want to. Well, I gotta do this because of my family. I gotta miss church because of my family. You're sending them to hell. You say, how? Because you should be the influence and say, look, church is more important than any of this other stuff. And I want you to understand, it's more important to me too, and it should be to you. I'll not be doing what you're wanting me to do. We're going to church. Why? Because God has my heart. God has my heart. Christian, who has your heart? Really? Who has your heart? Do you have God's heart? It's Christmas. It only takes about 3 minutes to read the Christmas story. And this is about how much God gets at Christmas. We have family, we have dinner, we have outings, we have all of these things, and we'll get together, and for 3 minutes we'll read the Christmas story, and then the gifts start, we start ripping. That's about all that God gets in Christmas, is about 3 minutes. A fleeting thought here or there. Do we have the heart of God? Does he have our heart? Let me encourage you to do something. Sit down with your family. I'm going to do this at our gathering this time. Say, all right, Marcus, what do you think Joseph was thinking? Shaylin, what do you think was going through Mary's mind in that stable? What was those shepherds thinking? Shaylin, what do you think God was thinking? He's the Father. And help your children, help your family think through the Christmas story instead of just read it and go for the presents. Make Christmas about Christ. Help your children to learn and understand some of these things. Listen, I want God to have my heart, don't you? What a Christmas gift. What a gift. And it's in our hands. It's in our abilities. It's free. It didn't cost us anything. Simply to give that gift back to Him. I want to love God with all my heart. Don't you? Sure you do. Do you love the Lord with all of your heart? Or are you a half-hearted Christian? He said, I want all your heart. I want to be a person after God's own heart, don't you? We can make that decision, and we will make that decision. You say, I'm not going to make a decision. You just did. I will not give God my heart. To do this, I'm asking everyone to give their greatest gift that you have ever given, more than a house, more than a 401k with $1 million in it, more than diamond rings, more than anything. I want you to give your heart as a gift back to God tonight so that you're ready for Christmas. But you've got to be honest. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? They said, oh, we're going to give it all to you. But then when they come to give the gift, they didn't give it all. They kept back part of it. God didn't like that. If we're serious, God says, I want all of your heart. And I want you to give it to me. As a lost person, you've got to understand you're going to hell without Christ. He loves you and He wants your soul. He wants to save you, give you eternal life. But as a Christian, God says, my son or my daughter, give me thine heart. Would you give that gift of your heart to God this Christmas? Would you do that tonight? I could try to pray a prayer with you, but that would be my feelings and my heart. You have to pray that prayer. You have to relinquish what needs to be done. You have to commit what needs to be done. It's not your husband. It's not your wife. Not your mom and dad. You have to give your heart back to God. And right now in America, we need people with a heart for God. Father in heaven, you said in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days. What a testimony. Father, I pray that you would help us tonight as we think through this. We've heard the message on the heart and how that you want our heart and that you want us to give you our heart. And I pray, God, that tonight that we would sincerely give that gift of our heart to you. Lord, I see this altar filled with young people. Whether they know what they're coming for or not, it's not the issue. But Lord, they're not afraid to step out. But Lord, that adults, if they're like me, they can't, and maybe they can get down, but they can't get up. Well, they can come up here and just stand and say, God, I want you to know I'm giving you my heart tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, You've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You don't know for sure today. If you died, you'd go to heaven. You need to come. And we'll take a Bible and show you how you can spend eternity in heaven forever. You just step out of your place and come, and we'll help you. But Christian, may I encourage you? So I've done this before, but where's your heart right now? And if it's not there, if it's not with God, if he doesn't have your heart, all of it, I pray that you'd step out, just come to the front, stand here, kneel down, whatever you want to do, sit in the chairs at the front, and just say, God, here's my heart. No singing. Pianists can go ahead and begin to play. Everyone stand to your feet, would you please? This is my Christmas gift to you, God. I want you to have my heart. I'm not playing games. This is a serious thing. I'm not doing this just to make other people think that I'm spiritual. I'm doing this because I love you, and I want you to have my heart. Would you come tonight? Say, oh God, here's my heart. Here's my heart. Would you come? Everybody's an individual tonight. Everybody makes the decision for themselves. What a great Christmas gift. The greatest gift that would ever be given outside of Jesus Christ is the gift of our heart back to God. Would you come? We're in no hurry because God's in no hurry. Would you come and give your heart to God? Like Isaiah said, cry out in the night. Pour out your heart to God. He's listening. He's listening. He wants your heart. Would you come?